Okay, my talk is next. I am Dr. Stephanie Walker, the Extension Vegetable Specialist at New Mexico State University. If I go over time, please stop me. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the research and some of the progress we've made in mechanizing New Mexico-type green chili. Now, first of all, for those of you who don't know what a New Mexico green chili is, it's a long green, physiologically immature fruit, although fully sized. It's a member of the Capsicum annuum species, and actually the pod type had its origins in the release of New Mexico number 9 back in 1913. Many people refer to it as hatch chili. There is no specific hatch chili, but really that name comes from a production area in southern New Mexico, home of the world-famous Hatch Chili Festival, so that name really has become associated with our New Mexico green chili. Many people also refer to it as Anaheim chili. Anaheim chili developed when Gilberto Ortega visited Fabian Garcia when he was first doing his breeding work. He was very excited with what he saw, so he took seed back to Southern California and developed the similar but different Anaheim chilies. So in New Mexico, we actually have two major chili pepper industries, one that's based on the red fruit or the physiologically mature fruit, and another large industry based on the green fruit. So, of course, with the red, they're physiologically mature, but really the harvest and the processing is very different than the green chili. With red, the vast majority of the product is partially dried on the plant. It's harvested, then fully dried, and typically ends up as a powdered product. With the green chili, the long green intact fruit are valued, so highest quality green fruit will be the large, thick-meated, undamaged fruit. So the quality attributes differ between these two types of New Mexico chili, and in large part because of this, the red chili industry has largely mechanized. So the vast majority of red chili acreage is currently mechanically harvested. Green chili is behind the times on this, and commercial production of New Mexico green chili is very much threatened by both labor costs as well as labor availability, when we actually have periods when growers cannot get enough laborers to actually harvest their fruit when they need to. And yes, green chili is currently and continues to be 100% hand-harvested. So chili, both the red and green, are historically very labor-intensive to produce and harvest. In red chili systems, we have seen that labor does represent over 50% of the production costs, and we have found in the red chili fields that have mechanized, the labor costs have reduced to about 11% of the production costs. So mechanization is one of the key methods to level the playing field for New Mexico green chili, both with competing countries and also with other crops that are grown in the area that are currently mechanized already, such as cotton. So some of the challenges we've had to face with mechanical harvest of green chili, one of the key ones that I'm not going to address in this particular talk, but a lack of a mechanical destemmer. If you've ever eaten a bite of salsa and bitten down something hard and woody, well, that's a stem. And so they're very, very difficult to remove from the product flow by processing facilities. So it's very critical to come up with some mechanical method to remove these stems. In hand-harvested product, they're removed by the hand crews. Once-over versus multiple harvests. Most of the green chili is harvested twice, so the crews will go in, they will strip all the mature fruit, then they will let them regenerate for a few weeks and go in and get a second harvest. Excessive fruit damage, some of our early pilot studies just really showed that we broke up the green chili fruit to shreds. It was quite bad, where we had well over 50% of breakage in many of our early attempts. Excessive field loss and fruit left in the field. Of course, no grower wants to see this. Some of our early trials did show that a large amount of the fruit was left on the plants or dropped in the field by the mechanical harvesters. Potential for excessive trash. This is sticks and leaves when I talk about chili trash. Well, certainly this is material we want to leave out in the field and not bring into the processing plant. Usually hand crews do a pretty good job of leaving the sticks and stems behind. And during our early studies, we certainly saw that our currently available commercial green chili cultivars did not work well for mechanical harvest. So we had a lot of research that went into getting to the point we could actually even test new breeding lines. First of all, we had to find the best chili harvester that would pick green chili. We tried many commercial machines that were being used on red chili. My colleague at the USDA also worked on some prototype heads that he developed. Some of them were absolutely terrible. Some did okay. By far the best machine for harvesting undamaged green fruit was a commercial machine out of Israel, the Etker machine, and it did give us above 90% recovery of good undamaged green fruit, so it's very promising. This was actually the commercial machine that we played with and worked with in pilot studies. The best production protocols, because certainly the irrigation method, whether it was furrow or drip, whether we started with seeded product or transplants, and the plant spacing impact the plant habit, and thereby how well the green chili mechanically harvests. We also looked at the currently available commercial New Mexico green chili cultivars to see if some did better than others as far as mechanical harvest efficiency, and if so, why. Out of the varieties we looked at, New Mex Joe Parker did give us the cleanest, best result. Then, of course, based on how the different cultivars did, we determined our breeding objectives. What key architectural traits did we need to select for in a breeding program to get better green chili harvest efficiency? Some of the traits that we looked at were taller plants, certainly fewer basal branches, a higher height to the bifurcation at the very first fruiting node, and thicker stems. And here's just a quick view of what I'm calling basal branches. These lower lateral branches you see in the right picture versus our breeding line on the left that does not have those, also that thick single stem. So over many years, through recurrent selection, we developed lines with improved mechanical, that we hope to have improved mechanical harvest efficiency. According to grower feedback, they were really looking at more than 80% marketable green fruit in the harvested material. We also knew we'd be successful if we had less fruit breakage after the mechanical pick, less harvested trash, less fruit left in the field. And, of course, through all this, we also needed to maintain the excellent New Mexico green chili flavor as well as the fruit characteristics that our customers look for. So the objective of this study is to evaluate some of the advanced open-pollinated New Mexico green chili breeding lines that we did develop for these traits and that we hope would have higher mechanical harvest efficiency. And this is actually a picture of the one-row Etker machine that we purchased about 3 years ago. It's the same double helix picking head that was on the Israeli commercial machine that did so well in our earlier pilot studies. The varieties, we had 6 advanced New Mexico green chili breeding lines. So the breeding lines are designated by the W17 number. We also tested 2 New Mexico green chili commercial cultivars, including New Mex Joey Parker, which, as I mentioned previously, showed the most promise of commercially available varieties. We also used AZ-1904 as the standard control. AZ-1904 is by far the most widely grown New Mexico type green chili currently. So the field was direct seeded on April 4th. The plots were 40 feet long. We set up our field in a randomized complete block with 7 replications. The field was furrow irrigated with 30-inch furrow spacing. It was thinned to 8 inches between plants, and then the field was maintained according to local production protocols. The inner 30 feet of the plots were harvested on August 29th using our single-row Etker double open helix picking head that's powered by our John Deere tractor. Before our harvest, however, we did take plant measurements to once again make sure that we did make progress as far as plant height, width, the distance to the bifurcation of the primary branch angle. We also measured internode length between the first and second fruiting node, the stem diameter, and, of course, a count of the basal branches. After we mechanically harvested our plots, we sorted into marketable green fruit. These were undamaged, horticulturally mature marketable fruit. Damaged fruit, any fruit that were cracked, broken, or otherwise damaged. We also got a measurement of the trash, the sticks and leaves that were harvested. Before the harvest operation, we did sweep all the furrows thoroughly, so we did go through in the plots also to collect any fruit that were dropped to the ground or fruit that were left on the plants after the harvest operation. We did take a subsample of the good marketable green fruit to get fruit measurements on them to ensure that we still had good fruit size. Analysis of variance is reported significance of P less than 0.05. And our results. So once again, here's a picture of our harvest. This is a picture of one of our breeding lines, one of our better breeding lines. You can see how well the fruit were stripped off of these plants, leaving the plants in very good shape. So when growers ask me, can we get a second harvest off of these? Yes, they will regenerate fruit given enough time before the first freeze of the season. So for our fruit characteristics, just some quick general partial results here. We really didn't see a big difference in a fruit size between the breeding lines and Joe Parker. AZ-1904 fruit were significantly larger, longer, and heavier. With the plant architectural traits, same thing. We really didn't see too much separation between the breeding lines and Joe Parker, with the exception of a 54W17, which did have a significantly higher length to that first fruit setting node. AZ-1904 plants were shorter, noticeably, they tended to have a shorter internode distance. With our harvested marketable fruit, which of course is a very important parameter of whether we succeeded with our breeding lines, we did see the breeding line 54W17 did give us the highest marketable fruit. AZ-1904, once again the most widely grown green chili currently, did significantly worse than the best of our breeding lines. We did have two breeding lines, 58 and 61 W17, that had significantly lower marketable fruit yield. As far as the damaged fruit and trash, once again, the breeding lines, for the most part, group with New Mex Joe Parker, with the exception of 58 and 61, which were also the lower yielding varieties, they did have significantly less harvested trash and less damaged fruit. And our field losses were very enlightening here. Our two best lines, 54W17 and 55W17, left significantly less fruit in the field on both the plants and the ground. Both New Mex Joe Parker and AZ-1904 left significantly more fruit in the field. So we really left a lot out there that should have preferably been harvested and brought to the processing plants. So in conclusion, the experiment was a partial success, I guess you could say. Breeding line 54W17 did have a significantly greater distance to the first bifurcation and thicker stem diameter. It also did have the highest marketable green fruit yield, but it wasn't significantly different than the harvested material, the good marketable fruit for Joey Parker. With AZ-1904, we did get significantly more broken fruit. The amount of mechanically harvested trash, the sticks and leaves, does seem to be related to yield. So unfortunately, the higher the plant yield provides, the more sticks and stems we harvest, which does make sense. Higher marketable fruit yield may mean higher trash level. And I have to say, initially, I was going to say, well, these two lines yield too low. There's no way we're going to bring these forward from a mechanical harvest system. But maybe if you really want a very clean pick, perhaps economically the lower yield with less trash, less broken fruit will work. Finally, AZ-1904 and Joe Parker had significantly more field loss than the best of the breeding lines. And that's all. I don't have time for questions. I took my full 15 minutes, but I'll be around if you'd like to discuss this further. Thank you.